This book is not principally about Thurgood Marshall's entire career, because it only takes him to age 30. This book is really about not what so much what Thurgood Marshall did as what Thurgood Marshall was like and the forces that shaped him, and particularly Maryland, Maryland's economy, its politics, its geography, and its sociology during the period from the beginning of the 20th century to through the Great Depression. This is the environment that produced Thurgood Marshall and shaped him, along with certain specific instances that occurred, and as well as some people who had pretty much dramatic influence on him. And so this is what this book is about. It's about Thurgood Marshall, the person, and influences that shaped him.
He grew up in West Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
And what was it about, what did he learn in West Baltimore that he could take to his legal career as a lawyer for the NAACP and as a Supreme Court justice?
Baltimore and Maryland were schizophrenic of sort about race. When the Civil War began and through the war, Baltimore's population, 100% African Americans, half of whom were slaves and half of whom were freemen. Well, that kind of dual personality on race continued. It was a state that had a lot of the segregation, some of it legally enforced, of the Deep South, but also that the state had some very good judges. It had a judicial system that one had a chance of getting a redress and bringing about changes. And this convinced Thurgood Marshall that the law could be used to change things for the better. And he proceeded to do that, beginning here in Maryland and having his first initial victories here. The first step on the road to Brown versus Board of Education in 1935 was the University of Maryland Law School case brought by Thurgood Marshall. This is the first time any judge in the United States ordered the desegregation of a facility. So he was in, and that is the environment that I wanted to describe.
Now, did he attend the University of Maryland School of Law, or where did he go to law school?
He went to Howard University, Law
That's
School.
That's what I thought.
And he didn't apply to the University of Maryland Law School, but if he had, he would have been rejected. The University of Maryland Law School had been segregated since 1891. So he brought, 2 years after he became a lawyer, the lawsuit that succeeded in desegregating that school.
You talk a little bit about Thurgood Marshall, the political strategist. Tell me a little bit about that role, because a lot of people, when they think of Thurgood Marshall, they don't think of him as a politician or a political strategist.
That was one of the surprises in my research, and it's also one of the things I think the readers of this book will find new and will find interesting, just how much Thurgood Marshall paid attention to and used political considerations in advancing his objectives. I mean, he was quite a diplomat. Because we saw Thurgood Marshall in his latter years become somewhat of a recluse and almost a curmudgeon.
That's the nature of Supreme Court justices. They kind of like that.
That is correct, but that's not the young Thurgood Marshall that I describe in this book, and who succeeded in bringing about so many changes using a combination of the law, politics, and what I call diplomacy.
Now, Thurgood Marshall later became a Supreme Court justice. Do you think he would have ever run for political office? I mean, did he ever think about running for mayor, state legislator, anything like that?
The book covers a period in time in life, mainly in 1936, when he actually considered running for office. He was urged to run for Congress and gave it some consideration, then later decided not to do so. I mean, if Thurgood Marshall had chosen a different path, not necessarily to go to New York to work for the NAACP, he would have been successful in just about anything he did, and a political career was a possibility.
Did he like being on the Supreme Court and that kind of reclusiveness that Supreme Court justices, they have a certain amount of anonymity and they enjoy, and that's one of the reasons you'll never – I mean, Justice Rehnquist said you'll never see cameras in the Supreme Court hearings, and Justice Roberts has echoed that.
It certainly was a dramatic change from a man who was constantly on the road, moving around the country, bringing lawsuits, raising money for the NAACP, to then have to take the closed life in terms of activity. It was a dramatic change. My book only covers him up to age 30, so it doesn't reach that period. But I did meet him during that period. I mean, when I first met Thurgood Marshall, it was in 1975. He was on the Supreme Court. I went to his his house late one night to get him to sign a court order. I expected to be there for just a few minutes. I was there for 2.5 hours, most of which he was telling stories about his Baltimore years. That's when I really developed an interest, because the person that I met there was somewhat different from the image that I'd gathered from writings up until that point.
Some of those stories in the book?
All of those. The book begins with that first encounter in 1975. The book also has the very last thing that Thurgood Marshall ever said to me. There's a photograph of me and him, and under the caption it says, so what am I supposed to do, kiss you? That's the very last thing that Thurgood Marshall ever said to me in life. And you'll have to get the book to see
did he say that? How long?
1985.
1985, right? And then he passed away in 1993. If Thurgood Marshall were to come back and see Baltimore today, you mentioned that Maryland and Baltimore was schizophrenic when it came to race when he was growing up. How would he view race relations in Baltimore and in Maryland? Would he still think this area is still somewhat schizophrenic?
Well, yes, somewhat, but he would be a marvel at the progress. We have an African-American mayor. My congressman is Cummings, the dean of the University of Maryland Law School, the school that he brought the suit to desegregate in 1935, is Phoebe Haddon, an African-American woman. So he would understand that there's been change, but he would also recognize that there's still much progress that's needed.
Professor Larry Gibson, the book is called Young Thurgood. It is available on Amazon. It's on sale in bookstores. It's in your library. And you've got some book signings coming up. Tell me a little bit about those.
Yes. The first one is the first event, the celebration, is December the 13th. That's a Thursday at the Enoch Pratt Library at 7 p.m. It's open to the public. Then there's an event the next night at Union Baptist Church in Thurgood Marshall's neighborhood. And on Saturday, December the 15th at 7 p.m., we'll be signing books at the Ivy Bookstore.